Begin Again Mama. I'm your host, Tia, and today I am joined by Rachel. Rachel is someone that I met in a holistic grief support group for pregnancy loss, infant loss, and stillbirth. This group has been so nourishing for me on this journey. Rachel herself has been incredibly generous with supporting me throughout this third pregnancy as well. So I asked her to come on today to talk about pregnancy after loss. Mama, if you are not ready for this episode, please protect your heart and turn it off now. Otherwise, get ready to meet Rachel. Rachel is a home birth and bereavement doula currently expecting her second baby. Her journey into the birth world started in preparation for marriage and pregnancy. It grew into the call to walk with other women through spiritual birth. When her first child died in pregnancy, she knew part of her daughter's legacy would be helping women through their own experience and loss. Hi, Rachel. I'm so excited to be sitting here with you today. Thank you so much for being on Begin Again Mama.
Hey, Tia. Thank you so much for having me.
I would love to get started with you just telling us a little bit about yourself as much as you're comfortable and maybe sharing where people can find you online, and then we'll get started.
Okay. Yeah. So my name's Rachel. I am a home birth and bereavement doula, and I'm also a lot of things, I guess. I stay home pretty much full time. So I just do some doula stuff on the side. I'm expecting right now, and we have one baby up in heaven, and my husband and I have been together for a long time now, married just about 2 years, and we just do a lot of different stuff. We do some crafting stuff around the house. We have a little crafting business, and we're going to be like building a house soon. So lots of different things going on. You can find me at Little Bird Birth on Instagram, and that's also where you can find me on my website.
Perfect. We will link both in the show notes as well. So tell me, Rachel, I feel like most people know what a home birth doula is, but can you talk to me about a bereavement doula? Because that's not something I personally knew about until I needed one, until I was the mom grieving.
Yeah, I got started in doula work kind of by accident. I was pursuing an acting career for a little while there and then realized that I really wanted to dedicate my life to my family instead. And so before we got married, I felt like I needed to use that time to prepare for pregnancy and birth, and just had no idea what kind of can of worms I was about to open. And so I ended up just doing a lot of research around that time and was called into the work by an acquaintance who asked me to be her doula. And so that's where that started. And through all the research, I got into home birth and realized that it just didn't align with me too much to be attending women in hospital births. Not that there's not a place for that, or that I don't make some exceptions here and there. And of course, like, I go for transfers and all that stuff. But I really wanted to be supporting women at home because I think that that's the best environment for women to be birthing in most of the time. And so after going through our experience with our first child, I realized within a few days of finding out what had happened, because our baby died in pregnancy, that part of her legacy was going to be helping other women through this. And so Little Bird is one of the meanings of her name. And that's where that came from. And so I realized that there was, I don't know, I guess some kind of role to be filled there, because I felt like I had had a lot of people go through something very similar during my pregnancy. And so I got to see a lot of how they grieved and how they coped and how they found meaning within all of that. And so because I had that experience, I think that made it a lot, not easier, but just understanding what had happened, came a little bit more easily to me, I guess you can say, understanding the meaning and all of that. So for bereavement work, what I do is pretty much attend stillbirths. That's kind of the niche, I suppose you can say. Unfortunately, most women have not shared too much about their pregnancies in the first trimester and typically don't know that there's support out there, I would be more than happy to walk with a woman through miscarriage as well, through early infant loss. I know some people who have lost their babies during birth, after birth, days or weeks later. And the thing is that when you're going through something like that, the most helpful people are always the ones who have been there as well. And I just felt like that was her legacy. And even if I didn't necessarily want to watch other people go through that, it really is an honor to be able to not only honor my child in that way, but really be there for not just birth, but a birth into heaven like that. I had the chance to do it a couple of times, which is unfortunate and also an immense privilege.
I think I can understand what you're saying, how it doesn't make your experience easier of losing your child, and it can make the impact it has on your life just deeper and more meaningful by being able to show up in those spaces because of that experience. Not a lot of people are willing to walk back and sit with people during those times because it brings up such uncomfortable emotions in us. And as somebody who has gone through that then, and not only does it bring up uncomfortable emotions, but it brings up that body memory, and it can be very triggering. I imagine how sitting with those women and those families and those babies, imagine how that can really impact you going forward in not only your work, but your personal life. And how have you been able to separate the two? Like, integrate? I think that feels more aligned. How are you able to integrate those experiences and still show up in your life fully, not let it harden you, for lack of better words?
I don't really struggle with that too much, the hardening part, because I think being a woman and being in community with other women is such a profound experience, even though it's such a normal human experience. I think we are really atomized, so we're not used to having that kind of sisterhood and community. And so I don't really, approach doula work too much as a business. It really is more community-based. And most of the women that I've had the honor of walking with through live birth as well have been acquaintances or friends. And so being able to just show up for somebody that you love or somebody that you know is such a different experience than, you know, taking money from someone, you know, like that you don't know first, and like building that kind of relationship. Though I do, you know, expect and certainly hope that I can be there for them as well. But I'm trying to figure out like how to answer this question without going into too many details about some of these women's stories. Okay, can you ask me the question again? And I'll just sort of like reset a little bit. Sorry
about yes. that. How would you say that you integrate your doula work into your life without letting it consume you or harden you or let it impact you, I guess? Or maybe you're supposed to let it impact you. Like, how do you integrate this?
Okay, for sure. Yeah, that's a great question. I guess I felt like I needed to do a little intro first. And then I think the idea that we're not going to be impacted by this, by any kind of experience through birth, through pregnancy, through sisterhood, even just normal everyday kind of stuff, is so silly. I was just talking to somebody last night. We're both supporting a friend right now who's going through a loss. And she was talking about how, like, she's crying. And she's like, it's not about me. And I'm like, well, of course you're going to grieve this. Of course you're going to have your own grief. It's not just for the other person. When we are so integrated into our relationships with other women, into our community, then of course we are going to feel those things so profoundly as well. And so I think that it's about recognizing where your role is. And so for me, like I'm careful not to overextend myself in terms of community service, so to speak. So my focus is really very, very much on home, my own family, my husband, and all of that, what we are doing, and then I branch out from there. So already when I go out, I have enough energy and bandwidth in order to be there for other people. And then the other thing is that when you have a strong relationship and you're actually building that relationship with your clients, whether you know them ahead of time or not, it's like there is a kind of give and take there already. So you have a relationship that is mutually beneficial where you are being filled all of the time with that. And to walk with another woman through loss is such a profound experience. So it's just about going inward. Like, I don't give my grief to her. Like, I support her. I take on what I can. And then I have other people I can talk to, whether that's my husband or my mom or some friends or whatever. I think we've all probably seen that chart of the concentric circles where, like, the innermost is the person who's going through that thing, whatever it is, so like the griever in this case. And then the circle outside of that might be a spouse or your mom or your best friend or something like that, like somebody who's really in it with you. And they're going to be experiencing a lot of those emotions, but they're not going to necessarily be giving them to you, giving them to the griever. They're going to be perhaps sharing within the experience and then from there on out. And so you can seek support on the circles outside of you, and then you give support to the circles inside. And I think that that's just really something that I keep in mind when I find out where my role is. So sometimes that is right there next to the mom in the birth space and doing what I can to support them, whatever it is that they ask of me. And sometimes that stuff is really hard and it is really triggering. Like when I attended my first stillbirth, like there were things that I was taking care of that I had not had to take care of for myself. And that was very eye-opening because those things had been taken care of and I suddenly realized like the weight and the impact of them. And so, yeah, that was very, very triggering. And I was able to go home and release all of that later. And then other times somebody else is on that front line, which is much more emotional work. So being a little farther away from the griever certainly isn't necessarily as emotionally difficult all of the time. But it can be a little more difficult to figure out how to give direct support, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. As you're talking, even the saying, like, don't let life harden you. And also just like, how do you, I'm putting this in quotes because people can't see that, leave work at work and like go home and like be separated.
Yeah.
That feels like a very masculine.
Yeah.
Patriarchy way of thinking that we can do that. And it's not real. Like you're saying, sisterhood is so much deeper than that. And being connected to other women and like being in those circles with women, it is different. And it just kind of pours out of you differently. And you are able to bring what you need to energetically and emotionally to a certain space based on knowing that person and really being in connection with their femininity and your own. And I don't know if there are necessarily, of course there are, but there's not necessarily these super strict boundaries that I think people often like to talk about and even put inside grief. I also like the idea of like the circles, because there are certain people who aren't able to just stay on the outside of that circle and who just dump into that griever, right? Mm-hmm. They dump all of their baggage into it, all the triggering stuff into it, or they like completely separate themselves in a way from it as if they could not understand what they're going through. And that doesn't feel right either. But the idea of the circles and like being able to hold space for each one, I can picture that. And that makes sense as the griever in the middle of it and like having that experience. And also being one of the people close to people who have grieved and being on the outside of that too. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And I think that there's also a difference between dumping emotion in and sharing an emotion. And so I think it's perfectly reasonable to say, wow, this is your baby. And obviously you are grieving this in a way that I am not. But man, I miss your baby. I didn't meet them, you know, and I didn't know them in the way that you do. But I'm also angry about this right now. I'm also grieving them. I also miss them. I was expecting to get to meet them, to have maybe a future with them if it is like a friend that you know. So being there in that space, crying with someone, grieving with someone, with, and I really do mean with, is very, very different than saying like, wow, this has been so hard for me because fill in the blank. So
very different. Yes. I want to kind of move into, you know, after somebody has had this experience of profound grief as a mother and they feel like they're in that space, they're in the portal for conception now, and they're ready to take that massive step forward, because it is a massive step, and not even necessarily forward, but just that massive step in general. And how do you look at that space of pregnancy after loss, pregnancy after life-altering loss of a child previous?
Do you want me to talk about the conception part and trying to conceive, or pregnancy first?
Let's start with conception and then trying to, and then moving into pregnancy. I think that feels...
It makes sense, yeah.
It feels right.
I think, gosh, that is such a big value point that it's hard to even say what's the right thing to do, because it has a lot to do with what you believe about God and the marriage union and sex and babies and bringing new life into the world. And so I think that is really something that comes down to your worldview and what you value first and foremost. I think like whether or not you decide to stay open to new life or if you need to wait a little while, that's not really something that I can answer. I don't envy people in that space because it was not fun. And I have to say that I think that there is something extremely brutal about getting your period after loss. And I don't think that really goes away. I don't know anybody who hasn't experienced it like that, because whether you're trying or not, whether you would like something to happen or you're not, if you're open or if you're not trying, once you see that period, it is just a reminder that you're not pregnant. Not with the last baby, not with the next baby. And I don't have any wisdom or advice or anything profound to say. I will say that sometimes things just suck, and that sucks. And sometimes the only way to handle something with grace is by continuing on and not giving up on life. I think that's really the only way to fail in that regard. I think it's perfectly okay to have very strong emotions about that, and then pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and say, I guess we're just gonna go through this now. And I think that there is a lot of grieving that can happen with a period as well. Yeah. And I really do wish, just for most people who are in that trying to conceive time, and it's not an easy thing to do, but if I could give anything to anyone in that time, it would be to just not obsess about it. Don't know what that's like, but I hope that for people, for sure.
Attempting to surrender to it as much as possible. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it's also a good time to practice trying to hone back into your intuition, which is so hard to do because you're so obsessed about every single symptom and every single thing that you're experiencing and trying to intuit something. But taking a step back, I think that there's a tendency to overpathologize everything. And so sometimes when it doesn't happen right away and you don't get another baby right away, it can very easily start to spiral into, is there something wrong? Do we need to get some kind of testing? Like, I need to do this right now, like da 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 da. And sometimes it's just because you need a little bit more time to grieve. Your husband needs a little bit more time to grieve and process. Or maybe, and I know that this sounds crazy, but perhaps it's really genuinely not time for another person to come into your family or to just come into their own life. And this is something that is so hard But at the end of the day, if you were born 2 or 3 years in either direction, how radically different would your life have been? And so it does matter when that child is conceived, when that child is born. It's much bigger than this moment in time. So that's the only thing I guess I have to say for that.
Oh, that's big. That's not an only thing, because that is so, it's so true. It's easy, I think, to look at your life and be like, yeah, that would, my everything would be different if I was born 2 years ago. It's so obvious, right, that our lives would be different if we were a different age right now. But when we're in it, trying to start our families, trying to have more children, like the timeline, you want to control that so bad. It feels like something that you're meant to control, and it's totally not. It's really not. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Okay, so I think a good lead way for like pregnancy after loss is talking about how you just touched on the intuition piece, because I really struggled with that. I remember after losing our daughter, I was like, I can't trust my body. I can't trust my intuition. I can't trust myself. How did I not know? How did I not predict the future is really what it came down to. And our intuition's not here to predict the future. I just need to throw that out there right there. But how do we show up as mothers in that pregnancy now that we do feel that sense of possible disconnection to intuition, what leads most of us mothers in our daily lives?
Can I ask you a question about your experience first?
Yeah.
When you sort of zoom out and look back at your last pregnancy in hindsight, is there anything that comes up where you start to think that maybe you had gotten bits of intuition along the way?
Oh, I knew from the moment I was pregnant. As I say it now, it feels like, not easy to say by any means, but it feels obvious, because I was panicking that something was wrong, and I had to go into the doctor to get like my blood drawn to make sure that my progesterone levels were where they're supposed to be. And I really thought I was going to miscarry. Like that was my interpretation of my intuition at the time. And once I didn't, once I saw that 12-week scan, once I saw heard the heartbeats, once I was measuring right, all this stuff, I decided to turn off that intuition and outsource that to these care providers that I thought knew more than me. And then it came down to it for that 20-week scan, and I had such a strong feeling of like, don't do it. Don't go in for that scan. And I outsourced that knowledge as well. I outsourced that knowing, and I went into it, and then we found out something was wrong, and we had to sit with not knowing what was wrong for a week. And in that time, her heart stopped beating.
Yeah.
And I regret not listening to that intuition, because yes, I have come to accepting, not approving of, but accepting that was her fate. And I believe that I could have had a more blissful pregnancy and really connected to her on a deeper level if I would have followed my intuition from the beginning and not outsourced it to these medical systems that I was convinced could, you know, predict the future and fix things or change things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really hard. And that's also really interesting. I had a very similar experience with just the panic for some reason in the first pregnancy. And now, of course, we know the reason. And I like what you said, too, that you've accepted it, even if you don't approve that was her story, because that's something that's really resonated with me as well. And something that I realized early on, that you can accept that this was her story, even if you don't like it. And you certainly wouldn't have chosen it.
Right. And yeah, you would have loved to have gone a different path. But accepting it, I think, has really helped me actually show up in my life and talk about it and like give this stuff out and allow other people to come in and like receive their stories. I don't think I would be able to be sitting here having this conversation with you without that acceptance.
Yeah. I think that there is a very different type of fear that comes up in pregnancy after loss versus that kind of very overwhelming intuition that can scare us. And I think that in my first pregnancy, that kind of fear that came up, it was almost like I had the intuition first, the when this happens, and then I would freak out and panic about that. Like, what do you mean when this happens? Why am I thinking that? I don't want to think that. Am I manifesting something here? Like, what is going on? And with this pregnancy, there's two different types of fear, I would say, that I've experienced. There's the kind that comes up where you're afraid that something is going to happen because of my prior experience. And of course, that makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't it? And those sorts of fear, and I think that this is something that you and I were talking about, those are the kinds that come and you can let them go. There isn't really much to do with them besides recognizing that that's a part of grief. And that's how it's expressing itself right now. We went through something really quite unimaginable, and to an extent, something that I think even looking back at our own experience in hindsight, sometimes feels a bit unimaginable, even to us, now that we have a little distance from it. How on earth I got through it, I don't know. I really don't know. And then there is the other kind that comes up in pregnancy as a normal part of pregnancy. And I think that when you know what can happen and that has the potential of happening, there is no hiding, there is no pretending, there is no lying to yourself. And so I think that the way that I have approached this pregnancy, and I can say this somewhat in hindsight because I'm in the third trimester now, is that all pregnancies are a very profound spiritual process. There is a journey there, and that journey doesn't always look the way that you would expect it or want it. And so for my first pregnancy, it was just very spiritual. I was spiritually high the entire time. I was immediately connected to my baby from pretty much the get-go. I knew her so well. And I got to connect with her. We got to experience so many amazing things together as a family. It really felt like she was here, you know, in a way that I think a lot of times babies don't feel in the womb. That was very special. And with this pregnancy, in the first trimester, I think that was largely about emotional and mental processing. So it was, there were a lot of emotions that came up. There was hopelessness. There was some frustration and anger, to be honest, because I was just so frustrated that I had been on top of pregnancy the first time around with all of the preparation that I had done. I was there for it, you know, and this time around I was a huge baby about the fatigue and the nausea and all of that stuff. And I was just like, I had this, I got it. And it was amazing. And it was so spiritual. And now I'm being like this whiny baby about like everything and just emotional and angry and hopeless. And it just didn't really seem fair. And it didn't seem fair to this baby either, you know, that this is what their first trimester was like in their pregnancy. During that time, there was also a lot of chaos. It really did feel like I was being tossed around a lot, just trying to figure out what choices I was going to make, doing a lot of research, like, am I going to do this test or that test? You know, even as granularly as the urine tests, really just trying to decide like what I was going to do, what I was going to do for birth, what kind of birth I wanted to give this baby, what I was prepared to do or not do, and all that stuff. And so that was really like the process of the first trimester. And at the time, it was really quite frustrating because I didn't see a way through. I had to go through that whole process. And that's what it is. It's a process. And then I think the second trimester was a lot of practical preparation, which was a lot of fun because I had a ton of energy for it. And then really, really recently, as in this last week in the third trimester, I've realized that it's time to make that transition from high energy practical preparation into the spiritual stuff. And I've realized as I've just started delving into that, that I would not have been ready for it beforehand, which is why it was completely inaccessible to me. And that's a very marked difference from my first pregnancy, because I was at that point, I was ready for the spiritual stuff from the get-go. And of course, thank goodness, because we had so much less time. And I reached for it this pregnancy. I was hoping for it. I was looking for it, but it just wasn't available yet. And so I think, like, when you go into any pregnancy, especially a pregnancy after loss, it's just remember that this is a journey, and that there is a very specific journey that you are being offered that has to do with this particular child, first of all, because they are having their own experience as well. This is an incredibly transformative time for them, both in pregnancy and into the birth portal. But it also is for you as a mother and as a woman as well. And so it's just about leaning into whatever that journey and that process actually is for you in this present moment. And there isn't really a right way or a wrong way of doing that. It's just about being willing to do it, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And being open to it being a different process, right? I think it's so common to hear each pregnancy is different. And I can say those words, yet I'm on my third pregnancy and I'm like, why is this not like what I experienced before? And I really believe that. I'm like, but I've been here. This is my third time. Why am I like still shocked about this journey I'm going on? Why does it feel so different? And it's like, it is different. This is a different being growing inside of you. And you are a different person based on the experiences you've had since those pregnancies. It's supposed to be different. And leaning into that and maybe being less reliant on looking for the similarities.
Yeah, and I do think it's kind of fun to compare. I know some people don't like to do that, and I totally respect that. Honestly, I think the differences have been grounding in a lot of ways, because when it's a different symptom, a more extreme symptom, a less extreme symptom, you're less likely to freak out a little bit too. So,
I can lean into that too, with this pregnancy of feeling everything's different, and down to like being like, this gender is different. I have no idea. Like, I don't actually know. I haven't done any of testings, but I'm like, it's just different. I know it is. And I'm like, I'm going to be pleasantly surprised either way. And I also have a feeling that if it's the same, it's going to be because it's something that I needed to protect myself over in this pregnancy too. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to just wrap up with, I remember when we were talking, something that like really helped me through, I was having like an immense amount of fear and anxiety. And I reached out to Rachel knowing, you know, she's somebody who has had to walk a similar story. And so I wanted to talk to her about this. And it was about, how do I know if it's my fear or my anxiety? And I know we can't answer that specifically for each person, but I think that your words were just so profound late that night for me when I reached out, that I would just like for you to touch on that.
Yeah. A lot easier said than done. Wow. Yeah. And it is so personal to each person. I think that kind of giving us a running start, one of the things that really helped me early on was taking a step back and saying, okay, do I feel like everything's okay? And being able to say that out loud. Yeah, I do think everything's okay. And I think it's going to be okay. Helped a lot, because I think that, I don't know about you, I can get a bit superstitious. She's nodding. And so I think taking that element out has been extremely helpful. And also just kind of forcing myself to believe that my baby is safe in my womb, and that it isn't a big scary world out there trying to get at them, and allowing this to kind of unfold. And I think it's also just the reminder over and over and over again that this is a different baby with a different story. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get any more time. But I think we do kind of have the assumption that everybody is going to live until they're 100. And the truth is that we just don't know. I think I talked a little bit to you about what differentiating between intuition and fear a little bit. Was there anything in particular that stood out to you? I feel like I need to double check what I sent you.
We talked about what we give our energy to and how sometimes if we give our energy too much, or if we give too much energy to these fears, that's when we can cross that boundary of, oh my gosh, is this my intuition?
Yeah.
And that was really profound for me too, of, oh yeah, that's me. I'm doing that. I'm giving this too much energy and I'm not allowing it to just be here and to pass. I'm allowing myself to really obsess over it and almost try to avoid it out of my mind rather than just allow it to pass like it was meant to. Like, I don't think that fears aren't meant to be here. I think that they do serve a purpose on some level. And so if we do allow those to be present, we can work through them without getting obsessive. And that's just totally based on how much energy we give each fear, each thing that pops up.
Yeah. And so I think that that kind of goes back to the process as well. And so I think when you start to really lean into the process of pregnancy, that's really where you start to hone your intuition for that particular thing. And so a lot of times there will be fears that pop up during the natural process of pregnancy. So something like, oh, wow, I'm like really, really afraid of shoulder dystocia or something like that. And so what I'm going to do is explore it a little bit. I'm just like I would in any other pregnancy. I'm going to go and I'm going to research shoulder dystocia and what would I do? And these are all my choices and da, 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 da. And then you have something to do, you know, you have a plan for that and then you can put it off to the side, call it a day. And that's how it goes in normal pregnancy, right? And in pregnancy after loss, you have all of that just amped up so much. Because you have your trauma-based fear on the one side, and then you also have these other perfectly normal fears that just seem so overwhelming because now you're wondering if they're intuition. And you're wondering if both of them are intuition. It's like, how do you differentiate between those two things? And so I think part of it is really about whether or not you're really putting your energy to it. And so when you get some kind of intuition, it really comes quite gently. It just comes to you and then you might react to it. That's really the thing that distinguishes intuition versus fear. Fear comes in strong every time. You can always tell that a fear is a fear because it starts as the emotion rather than as the message, if that makes sense. And this takes a long time too, right? Like, I used to be super, super turned off from my intuition and my body and all of that stuff. So, you know, give yourself a little bit of grace. It takes some time, and it takes some time in every new experience that you have as well. So, you know, I think when the fear comes, it's like, okay, that's something I'm afraid of right now. And I'm feeling a lot of very strong emotions to it. And if you start to pour into it, it does make you feel panicky. It does make you freak out a little bit. And the trick is to stop it before it starts. So when you start to feel afraid, just immediately, like, put up some kind of block in your mind. I'm not going to think about that. You know, maybe it's something that you say to yourself. Maybe it's just a distraction. It's really okay to distract yourself from something that you're afraid of. You know, there isn't really much to do with a fear during a time like this besides recognize that it's there and try to let it go as best as you can, because it's not there to teach you anything. It's there, like I said, as like a shadow of your grief, an expression of your grief, manifestation of it. And then with the intuition, the difference there is that you get something and you're like, wow, that's a little scary. Let me look into that a little bit. And then if you start to feel a lot of emotion about that, a lot of fear surrounding that thing, that's where you can explore a little bit more. Well, why am I so afraid of that? Is this something that I really feel like is going to happen? And then if you do or if you don't, it doesn't really matter. Throughout this pregnancy, I have had pretty much every single pregnancy and especially birth and postpartum related fear you could possibly have. And at some point I had to say, you know what, enough is enough. because whenever I would think about that, like, oh my gosh, like, how would I know if I had placenta previa? Da 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 da. Like, well, this is how I would know, and this is what I would do. So there isn't anything more to think about that. In terms of the intuition stuff, I mean, it has been really hard to differentiate, like, what is specifically intuition. And I think that that has actually been part of the journey of this particular pregnancy is, you know, I don't know. And cool. Sounds good to me, you know? And as somebody who likes to know and who likes to be like, oh, so spiritually in tuned or whatever, it's a little hard to let go of. But, you know, it's with the letting go of that, it's opened up a lot of really cool experiences to get to know slowly, get to know my baby a little more slowly, and get to experience the unfolding of this pregnancy as it happens. So, yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that and just all the things that you have shared today. Is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you want to add before we end?
I feel like you and I talked a little bit about approaching the same moment. Do you want to talk about that? Like,
yeah. That's kind of what I was in mind. Like, that's when I reached out to you, I was like, I think a day or two away from where I birthed our daughter. And I recognized that. My body recognized that far before my mind allowed me to recognize it. And that body memory, I think, was really hard on, or it was really, it fed into those fears that week, for sure.
Yeah. I think I just really wanted to touch on the fact that that is a very, very real thing. And I think leading up to it was particularly scary for me because I knew the exact day, right, in my head, like this is the gestational day where we found out. And then this will be in the future, whatever, the day where I will be pregnant for the longest I've ever been pregnant. And so like those two dates were just like stuck in my head. And that was the only time that I properly panicked. I talked to you a little bit about that when we were texting. And I think that that is really where we started talking about fear versus intuition. But I guess I just wanted to touch on that a little bit because I think it will be a very common experience for a lot of people. And I think it really depends on where you were in your journey in terms of how you kind of approach that. Because I think for you and me, who experienced that during pregnancy, all there really is to do is walk through that moment. You know, it's pretty passive. There isn't any action that's required of us. But it is really scary. And like I said, it was the one moment throughout this entire pregnancy where I did just get hysterical panic. And it was something I really, really, really didn't want, but it came anyway. And the baby wasn't moving a ton that night, but then they ended up moving a lot the next day. And that was really, really nice. So, but then on the flip side, for people who lost their babies during birth or a little bit after birth, that's a much, much trickier thing. And I really do recommend probably having someone in your corner, whether it's a doula or a friend or somebody you're really close with, to help process through that. I really highly recommend birth art as well to prepare in pregnancy. It is so helpful to be able to do that. And I think it's a little different with miscarriages as well, which goes back to the whole, sorry, to just totally like go somewhere else, but just goes back to the intuition thing a little bit, because I think that if you do feel like there is something that you need to explore, whether that's in the conception phase and some kind of testing, it is worthwhile to explore that, whether or not you actually end up going through and doing anything, you know, any kind of like testing or not. If you get something, it's worth exploring. But at the same time, just because something isn't happening for you in a certain way, or something happens or happens again, doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything wrong with you as well. So hopefully some of that helped, some of that resonated.
I know it resonated with me, and it's pregnancy after loss and loss in general, just grief. It's all so unique. Yet I think there are so many aspects that are very universal.
Yeah.
Like the experience themselves are unique, usually the relationships, the steps, whatever, very unique. But a lot of that emotional and spiritual work too, like it really can be universal. I think how it shows up in your life is going to be a little bit different too, and how you resonate with stuff. But finding a safe women's circle, I think, is one of the biggest and most impactful for me in my healing, as things keep happening in my life and as I am continuing down this journey of whatever it looks like to be me. And I'm so grateful that our paths have crossed, Rachel, and that you've been willing to be so open and hold space too. It's not everybody can do that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Begin Again, Mama. I am grateful you chose to spend time with me. I know how busy you are and how precious your time really is. If you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe or follow on your desired platform. And when you do, please rate and review Begin Again, Mama. This helps me expand our reach. Until next time, remember, each moment is an opportunity to start anew and begin again, Mama.